Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, what's up? You're listening to the Alternative Facts Podcast, Billboard's podcast for long-form interviews with compelling voices and alternative music. I'm Chris Payne. I'm a staff writer at Billboard, hosts this podcast every week, joined today with my colleague, Andrew Enderberger. What's up?
Not too much, Chris. How are you doing?
Doing good.
You excited for the MLB All-Star Game tonight? You got your Diamondbacks jersey on.
I was supposed to go to a party, an All-Star Game party tonight.
People have All-Star Game parties?
This one got canceled, so apparently not.
But I'm called on a counter rain, I guess.
I'm still going over my buddy Matthew's house, so I'll be repping the Diamondbacks when I get there.
Good man. Who's in it this year for the Diamondbacks?
Three guys. We got Paul Goldschmidt in the starting lineup.
All right.
And pitchers Patrick Corbin and Zach Greinke.
All right. Well, rooting for the NL. Good luck to you.
So this week, podcast, Meg Myers.
Know
you're a fan of her, too. Had her by the Billboard office a couple weeks back talking about her new album. It's called Take Me to the Disco, and it's out very soon, July 20th, and the single Numb has been doing pretty well at alt radio so far.
Yeah, no, we're both big fans of that song. It's got, you know, kind of like a 90s intensity to it. It's got a major like real kick in the chorus. And Take Me to the Disco, like for an album that like that doesn't seem like it's going to hew too closely to like, you know, dance crossover or like going to pop in that direction. Like, it's sort of a surprising title because I feel like there's a lot of titles that could have been more accurately called Take Me to the Disco that actually do go in that direction.
Disco doesn't have to be rock music. Rockers are going to the disco. Everyone's going to the disco.
It's true, yeah.
We actually talk a little bit about how the title came up in this interview.
All right. Well, I won't have you spoil it for your listeners in that case, but I'm excited to hear about that myself.
She was a fun talk. She was very frank about how after her last album, which did pretty well, reasonably, Atlantic was pretty much like, we want a top five single or hopefully a number one single, and if not, that's it. So Meg Myers didn't really jive with that and went free agent and wound up with 300 Entertainment, who are putting out this new album. And judging by how Numb is doing, looks like a good start for her.
Yeah, risky move, but good to see her playing the long game. She seems to be building a fan base. She's got, you know, a bunch of fans in the office, I know, and hopefully it pays off for her.
It's tough to get through this label stuff, and this a lot of artists fall victim to this. So it's really interesting to hear firsthand from how Meg navigated this, how she was a free agent for a while and had some people in her corner, collaborators, producers, friends who she held on to, and she gives a pretty good firsthand discussion of how she worked these past couple years of her life.
Well, it's a sports summer, so it's a good time to be a free agent, I guess.
So playing us into the episode, this is the song we've been talking about. This is Numb, number 34 on Billboard's Alternative Songs chart right now. Been there 7 weeks. Numb, followed by My Chat with Meg Myers. Enjoy.
Sometimes I wish I could fly. Secret trapdoor into another life. Bury my head in the sand. I don't wanna grow up. La 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 la. I hate the feeling of this weight up on my shoulders. Pushing the pressure down on me.
think 3 years ago mm-hmm. for your debut album.
Okay.
And
3 years.
I feel like a lot has changed with you since then.
A lot. Yeah, it's been a long few years, and this is the first time I've been on the road in that amount of time too. So this is my first little run, and it's been awesome. Everything's sold out, and just like crazy awesome fans, rabid.
Yeah, Mercury Lounge in New York City.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. So yeah, I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the sophomore album, you've done this once before, you know, or second major label album. You've done this before. Mm-hmm. Settling into yourself, new batch of songs. You're probably like a much different person this time around. So like, how do you think you've changed the most?
I think I have become more of a baby.
All right, so we're going backwards.
I'm going backwards. I think I've become just more, there's been a lot of spiritual work the last year for me, and during this making of this, the record coming out, my record's next one is coming out July 30th or 20th. Is it 20th? It's 30 even in July. It's coming out July 20th. Take Me to the Disco. It's been a really just long, it's just been a really like deep journey the last year, and me getting more connected to myself and learning more about myself. And it's also just evolved a lot sonically, my sound with my new producer, Leggy Langdon. And yeah, I'm so excited to share this evolution with everyone.
Yeah, and Numb's been getting some radio play, mm-hmm. some alternative radio
it
play.
It seems to do pretty good. Yeah, it's doing pretty good.
Always a good sign starting out an album.
Yeah.
And first thing with 300 Entertainment.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, that was kind of like when me and Leggy wrote that song, we were like, oh, this is the one that we want to put out first. So I'm glad that's doing well.
Yeah, because it seemed like you've been working on this new stuff for a while, because from like the Instagram stories, good Instagram stories, by mm-hmm. the way, but
thank you.
A lot of studio footage the past couple years. It seemed mm-hmm. like you were hard at work on something.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the first taste of what was to come out.
Yeah.
So Numb was the first, was that like a big breakthrough in the studio for you?
That was like one of, I wrote like 40 songs in less than a year, maybe. And obviously only like 12 of them or something ended up on the record. But
or something.
I don't know if it's 10 or 12. I can't remember. I think it's 10 or 12. I think it's 12. But yeah, but so we also have a bunch of stuff that we're going to be putting out after the record comes out too. I don't remember what the question was. I blanked.
Big breakthrough in the studio.
Big breakthroughs.
Big time. With Numb or whatever else.
Yeah. Well, Numb was like, we were writing that when we wrote that, it was because we were getting a bit of pressure from my label at the time to write a single,
okay,
a radio single. And there was a lot of confusion of if it should sound like Meg Myers or if it like whatever she's evolved to become, you know, to, or if it should sound like the stuff on the radio, you know. And so it was kind of like, and I'm like, well, of course I'm gonna be like, well, it should sound like me. Right. But so we kind of were just feeling frustrated and went in and wrote that song and about the whole situation and the label and stuff. And just luckily, yeah, it was cool how it became actually the single. So.
Yeah. And when you say like sound like me, I mean, your fans already know what that sound is. And
yeah,
the general public, people who listen to alt radio, they had an idea because Desire got a good amount of play.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a statement out there. People have an idea for you. And then, you know, mm-hmm. the first single off the second album is a big move.
Say that again.
The first single off the second album is like a really important move.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a video for it too. And, you know, we had written that about the label, but it like, the meaning of a lot of the songs on the album, including that one, took on, it like expanded and took on even more meanings. So if you see the video, it's still makes sense with what it, you know, what it's about, but it expands into a broader, just things that are going on in the world and stuff for women. And yeah,
you said like a little bit of pressure, maybe like a nudge to mm-hmm. sound like what's on the radio right now. Like what would you, how does that even manifest to you? Like, what do you think that sound is?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really know. I don't really listen to the radio, honestly. But I think for them, it is whatever females sound like on the radio. Which is, I think, less guitars. There's probably not as much rock guitars, right?
Yeah.
It's like my sound is very 90s influenced. And you'll when you hear this album, it is very 90s influenced, but there's a lot of not 90s too. But I don't know. I mean, I just think that that sound for them was just less guitars, and they were like, and more like programmed drums feeling. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, it's, at one point they took it in and were like trying to make it sound just took it from us sort of, and we're trying to figure out how to make it sound like that. And I could hear how maybe. Actually, no, I thought it was sounding horrible. So we just went back to the original. I was going to lie just then.
Like, no, I know exactly.
I thought it sounded kind of cool for what it was. Yeah.
No, I totally feel you on this. Like, in writing about mm-hmm. rock music for Billboard, I've done a ton of research and writing on the first thing you said with, like, guitars sort of being squeezed out of alternative radio. Mm-hmm. And also, just secondly, just how it's maddening how few women are played. When if you look at, like, critical lists and what, like, people who are really into rock music and alternative music are into.
Yeah.
Look at like a top 10 list for like Pitchfork or the New York Times or Billboard. Mm-hmm. The rock stuff is so heavily female focused. But if you look at like the top 40 any week on our alternative charts, normally it's like 4, 5, or 6 female artists and that's it out of 40.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
But you've been on there.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
I am. Yeah. I think it was like in their minds for me. I think for them it was because I got dropped by them like after that, like that didn't, and then I'm on 300
by Atlantic.
By Atlantic. I was on Atlantic and like I've been on 300 for a few months now. But I think for them it was just like, is this going to be a number one? And if it's not, then they don't, and it's like, you know, that's like, they can't really like,
that's what Atlantic thought.
I think so. I was like, is this going to be in top five? Really, is that, you know, that's how it goes. It's like, is that gonna be top five? And it's like, well, we don't really, it's like, it might not, so we're just gonna have to, you know, because this is kind of, this doesn't sound like anything right now, and if it doesn't sound like anything, might not end up in top five is the way that they saw it, you know. And it's kind of like, well, you also have to take a chance, because if you don't take, you know, that's how things take off. But
god, so it was like, second album either get really commercial or that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I also, like, even though I'm saying all this, like, I got to make my album. They let me make this album, like, and spend all this time with writing. And so I'm so grateful. And I love everybody over there, actually. And it was just wrong. We were in different paths. So it was a nice, when I found out, I think we were all kind of relieved, you know. It's just like, it's like when you're in the wrong relationship or something, or it's just, you just start growing apart.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure this period was rough for you, like, in between labels. Like, what was it that you held on to in your life when you were in this transitional phase? Maybe it was, like, producers, other musicians, just friends?
Yeah, it was pretty rough. I think I started doing therapy, and that was, like, the main thing.
Therapy's good.
Yeah. I've been doing that a lot, and that has helped a lot in my career, but just everything personal, you know, like, it's been really grounding for me. And my therapist is very spiritual, so it's been like, you know, just been really grounding. It's helped me perceive everything differently mm-hmm. than maybe I would have in the past in a more negative way. And it's helped me to like, it was able to help me see that like split with Atlantic and like going through all of that with the songs and everything and just a different, with different eyes. Yeah.
I mean, that'll change your whole life, like starting therapy, aside from just like your music life. That like, mm-hmm. I can speak from experience, that changes your whole outlook on life and like how you see yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we need somebody, we need to ask for help sometimes.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation apps are good too. Have you ever tried like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like,
yeah. I have this one, Insight, just because it was free, and there's like a bunch of different ones that I can always find on it. And there's also just meditation music, and I've been really bad about it on this tour. I maybe did it once, and I can see that, because I'm like, I'm starting to get, you know, I can see how much it helps. But like, I think for me, when I'm home, a lot of times when I go hike, when I go into nature, that's when I go into that place, the meditation place. So I'm a little better at that, but when you're on the road, you can't do that. So I got to get better at, get back to the apps. Yeah.
Yeah. Tennessee, the wildlife in Tennessee, therapeutic, sounds like, right? That's where you're from. Oh, Tennessee, yeah. Right?
Okay. Well, so big change.
Okay. Okay. Fill me in on this.
So, okay. Well, I lived in LA. I think I was in LA last time I saw you, right?
I think so.
Okay. So yeah. I was in LA. I lived there for 9 years. I'm like, where am I right now? Yeah. I lived there for 9 years, moved back to Tennessee for 3 years. And then I just moved back to LA because I fell in love with somebody. So I'm back, baby.
there's good hills, good climbing, good scenery in LA.
In LA? Yeah. I live in Pasadena, South Pasadena, and it's just so beautiful. And it's just outside of the city that I don't go crazy. And it's like, I can drive 20 minutes and it's like beautiful hiking. Yeah.
Yeah, location is really important with just music, whole life, everything.
It is, yeah.
Good weather year round, that'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, what you were saying earlier about like meditation apps is interesting, because just last week I did an interview with a band and I asked them just like what they were listening to, and they're a top 40 band, so I was expecting to just hear like top 40 artists.
Yeah,
and all of their answers were like looped jazz to coincide with your like mental thought cycles.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's what all these guys listen to. And they were like,
that's amazing.
Because the life for touring musicians is like day in and day out, so much stress. You're around like lots of alcohol. You maybe don't get a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
Just listening to like chill out, therapeutic, meditative music is really, really helpful for touring musicians.
It really is. Look, let me just pull out my phone.
Yeah, tell the people what's good to get their heads clear.
The last thing that I listened to, was anxiety relief music that my friend sent me. And then Peaceful Meditation playlist by Spotify.
Okay.
Peaceful Meditation. That one is awesome. It's so good. And then I just have like a lot of random like classical and world music.
Okay.
Like, let's see. Well, I just have like playlists and stuff, and then every now and then I'll dip into, I'll like dip into a rock song. Every now and then I'll be like, I'll put some Nine Inch Nails on, with a Cure on or something. I'm just looking at it right now. But yeah, and me and, my boyfriend made each other over the last year just like a ton of playlists for each other, so it's like a mix of classical and more ambient stuff, and then it's like stuff from growing up, like,
sure,
you know, some Slipknot and stuff like that.
Nice.
yeah
no, like listening to your music, I can tell how like, and I think we talked about Nine Inch Nails last time we did this, but listening to your music, I can tell how like some of that like heavier rock, some of those like new metal tinges are like still in a song like Numb.
Yeah.
And like I totally understand why someone would want to like give that up in your music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like it's literally coming from my inner child. Yeah.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What was your favorite stuff when you were a kid?
Well, let's see. A kid or a teenager?
Let's go with teenager is probably more interesting.
Teenager? Okay. I mean, I think teenager was Nirvana, Alice in Chains, always been into Enya. Oh, God, I got really into Silverchair. That was, like, huge for me. And then always the Police. Sting was, like, super into, like, four solo albums.
The Brand New Day, was that one of them? The one with Desert Rose?
You know what? That was when I started falling out a little bit from Sting. Like, but I can't even remember. It was like Dream of the Blue Turtles.
Okay.
I even got into Mercury Falling. I think that was before Brand New Day. There's like Ten Summoner's Tales. I'm blanking on one. That's like actually my favorite one. But yeah, my family got me really, and I was like influenced by their taste a lot. But my brother, yeah, Nirvana, Nine Inch Nails. I was also really into things like Jewel, Tracy Chapman, a little bit more folky stuff. But, you know, because I was a Jehovah's Witness till I was 13. So I was pretty, like PG-13. And so as soon as I was able to listen to stuff with cursing or whatever, it was just like, oh my God, you know. So then I did get into like Nine Inch Nails and Korn and Deftones, Marilyn Manson. Yeah.
Yeah, so I asked for the teen era. I guess if I asked for the kid era and you gave me what you were listening to when you were a kid, it would have been a little bit different.
Oh yeah, if I was a kid, I would be like Heart and Led Zeppelin, Robert Plant's solo stuff. Yeah. Well, that's a classic rock, you know. Whatever was Oh, Foreigner.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you play bass guitar live now. Were you playing bass back then?
I started playing bass when I was 13, 12 or 13. My brother wanted to start a band. He played guitar and sang, and he was always like riffing on Nirvana and Alice in Chains, and so he was like, "You're gonna be my bass player." So, he taught me Teen Spirit. I think that was the first, and then like we got really into Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then we just started writing songs together, and so now, today I play bass on stage. I play like half the set on bass, and then the other half I sing.
Word. And like you just played a few shows. How do you think the live shows have been going, like testing out the new songs?
It's so good. Like I feel I just, not that I wasn't connected before, because I really was, and I expressed a lot of pain on that first album, but there's something that I'm in a much deeper way connected to this second album than before, and so I think that's just like makes all of a difference too. Like I think fans can feel that, and I think it's a little more fun the live show now than it used to be for me. Like I think it's just more fun, yeah, and I think I feel more confident and stuff, but it's been freaking killer. Yeah.
Word. Because I haven't been able to catch one of the new live shows yet, but I remember seeing you from last album cycle. Like, it was an intense show. Like, you would break into screaming for some of the songs at the very ends. Like, it was a heavy vibe.
Yeah. It was. And I think, like, I still, there's some pretty screamy parts on some of my songs still on the second album. But I think there's a lot softer. I don't know if softer is the right word. It's there's like softer songs in this album too. It's very half and half, super dynamic, but I don't have a song like that one. That I definitely don't have like the scream, full on scream one. That was like hard to do night after night after night too. It's like that can be like, but I still have the intense vibes for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, last night was like probably similar to the old days. I really brought it in that way, the scream way.
Yeah, I figure though, if you name an album "Take Me to the Disco," there's gonna be some different vibes, some like happier vibes on a new record with that name.
I guess so, yeah. But also that, like, the reason why I chose that title, that's the first song that we wrote for the album. It kind of feels like when I wrote that song, I was feeling like I was writing about disconnection, wanting to disconnect, wanting to check out, wanting to escape, just like take me out of here type of, always had this obsession with death, I thought. And that was sort of what it felt to me. And then as we went on, we wrote the album, we came back to that song and we finished it. And I had been through so much in that time. Like, I mean, I'm not going to go into details, like just so much on the spiritual journey that I've been talking about. And so I came back to it and finished it. And I realized that what I was trying to write about and the obsession with death and everything was like, it was just like wanting to connect. Is like really connect to myself, connect to other people, like true connection, and not wanting to escape. It's like actually wanting to, like, you know, not find yourself, but just really connect to your true self. And
sure,
yeah. So it's kind of like half super dark, and like walking through the darkness to, you know, see light, to get to the light. That's kind of like sums up a large part of what the album feels to me, is like it's about. But so it's really like, yeah, it's really dark, really light, I guess.
So on this journey that you're talking about, and it doesn't even really have to pertain to just like the album or music straight up, like your life's very intertwined in this, but what are you looking forward to coming up? Like, what do you want to do?
What do I want to do musically? You're saying just in general?
Yeah,
anything?
Well,
yeah.
We could keep it like simple for like this year, like for this album. Like, what's in your head?
I don't know. I mean, I would really love to get my music in. I mean, I've had plenty of placements in the past in television, but I would really like to somehow connect my music with more visuals. Like, that's a huge thing for me. I love film, and I just love, like, when I'm writing, I kind of, like, I'm always, I mean, just walking every day, it's like I kind of see everything in that way, and so it'd be cool to get that going.
Yeah, because you did a bunch of music videos for, I think it was, like, your first album or EP?
Yeah.
There was, like, almost one for every song.
There's a lot, yeah, and I've always had that sort of, been into that sort of, like, epic, like, just what is it, like cinema type feel, is that the right word?
Cinematic.
Yeah. Cinnamon, yeah.
Some more music videos to come.
Definitely more music videos. I think, yeah, I'm shooting one when I get back in like a couple weeks.
Which song?
For the song, it's called Jealousy.
Cool.
On the album, yeah, so something I've experienced a lot in my life, so it'll be an intense one. Yeah.
And I'm sure going forward, more touring, like seeing different cities, visiting places, seeing people you haven't been to in a while.
Yeah. I have a tour coming up in September, and that's a US and Canada tour. And that's, I'm going to be on the road for about a month doing that. I mean, I would really love to get out to Europe and get out to some other places next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if we're talking about only this year, but yeah, I mean, I wanna just keep expanding, and in the meantime, keep doing the therapy.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you're gonna need it on the road.
Therapy is a lifestyle thing. Like, you're not gonna, I mean, it's, and once you start doing it, you realize, like, there's not a moment where you're just like fixed and it's like, oh, I don't need therapy anymore. I mean,
no,
when you're good, it's like, you're like, all right, I want to keep doing this thing that makes me happy and makes me keep feeling good.
Yeah, it's a process, and it's like you're never, I've had this conversation a lot lately with people. It's like, I think that I thought a few times, like, I'm going to get to, like, I'm going to figure it out. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, that's not, it's just that nobody, and I'm seeing all these people and I'm making new friends, and like, you know, a lot of them are married and have been together a long time, and I'm seeing all these relationships that just like, oh, everyone has hard times. Like,
seriously,
it's just not. It's everybody. It's just all of us. It's fuck. Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. How like, I was always like, oh, I'm so messed up, and all this, you know. And it's like, oh no, it's just a process. We're always just like, you know, just going through it. There's no end game.
Yeah, and I think recently, for all sorts of reasons, lots of people are just opening up on social media, Twitter mostly, just like telling their story, what they've been through. And there's just this sense, like, it's been really like helpful to me, where people, it just seems like, oh yeah, like everyone is going through this sort of stuff. And people who you wouldn't, like, just like 2 weekends ago, I remember just like a musician who I like a lot, who actually just saw last weekend, who I never would have ever expected, like, went through anxiety and depression, just seemed like the most cool, confident person, wrote this harrowing thing on Instagram about what he'd been through, and I was like, oh shit. And then I saw him last weekend on stage just being all confident, playing an awesome show, and I was like, damn, all right, that's the same guy.
Yeah, those are usually the ones, I feel like, that are really having those, going to those dark places, like the ones that are just like, you know, really bringing it. It's like, there's a, that seemed just like, la-di-da, you know, I'm out there killing it, and then going home and like, I want to kill myself.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're in an awesome place heading out for a new adventure.
I'm excited, yeah.
Yeah, so anything else you want to throw out there? Exciting things coming up, new album, new friends, new music.
I have new friends. I love my new friends so much. They're in Pasadena. We're all in Pasadena in Los Angeles.
Oh, shout out to Maddie Ross, our mutual friend.
Maddie Ross makes awesome music. She's, oh my God, she's incredible. She's always been incredible. She's just like killing it right now. So go check out Maddie Ross.
Yeah, new song Loners is one of the good ones. Yeah. You're Still My Sugar from last year.
So good.
She's awesome.
She's awesome. She's also an awesome person. Yeah. Let's see, what else do I have to share? I think I've shared it all. New album, Take Me to the Disco, coming out July 20th. Tour, I'm touring in September, and I'll be on the road for about a month, so check out dates. You can go on my website at, is it Meg Myers or Meg Myers Official? MegMyers.com for any news. So thanks for having me.
It's all there. Yo, thanks so much for coming by.
I'm ending it, so thanks for having me.
Podcast number 2 with Meg. Thanks so much.
Yeah, sweet. Thank you.
So that was Jealous C, another Meg Myers track from the new album Meet Me at the Disco. Playing off our show, that album is out July 20th. Go check it out, buy it, stream it, go see Meg live, she's awesome. As far as this show goes, we'll be back in another few days, another interview. I've got a couple in the can, not sure which one it's going to be, but I will say I have interviewed Alice Merton recently. That could be next week's episode, could be one after that. Not sure yet, but Alice is awesome. If you listen to a lot of alternative radio, you've definitely heard her music, No Roots, other songs. She's great. So to get this and all other shows, episodes in the series, search for hashtag alternative facts, all one word. That's the name of the show. Search for that on iTunes or your podcast app, and find me on Twitter. At CPaint on a Plane is the handle. I'm always dropping little hints about the show, what's coming up next, and just stuff with my life, my job at Billboard in general. And that's pretty much it. Towards the end of the interview with Meg there, we shouted out an artist, friend of ours, named Maddie Ross. She's awesome. She's an independent artist out in LA who makes pop rock music. And I actually found out about her stuff through Meg on Twitter. So gonna play us off this episode with a little track from Maddie Ross. This one is called You're Still My Sugar. Check it out, and we'll see you next week. Peace. Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.